Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
So I'm on with Jeff Rimmer, who is the play-by-play man for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Jeff, thanks for doing this. We're loving watching the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets are my my new favorite for the Stanley Cup final. So this must be pretty exciting for you.
Yeah, it is. I got to ask you a couple questions, though.
Yeah, shoot.
How does a doctor, plastic surgeon, get involved with his own podcast?
Well, it's an interesting story. I helped the Maloof brothers write their pitch to the NHL, you know, to Bettman.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I know Joe pretty well, and we were sitting at lunch one day in 2015, and I said, what are you guys going to do now that you sold the Kings? And he said, well, doctor, we're thinking about getting into hockey. And so I said, you know, Joe, I'm your guy. Like, I've been watching hockey, playing hockey since I was, you know, 3 years old. What can I tell you? And I literally gave him a tutorial, and Gavin was sitting in the at the time, the console energy arena, checking it out. And I helped them hone their pitch. They got the team. I submitted my list of their favorite draft picks. And when it was all over, you know, Joe came to me and said, you got to do something with your knowledge about hockey. It's great that you're a plastic surgeon and you do really well with that. But he goes, what are you going to do with all this hockey knowledge? And he and I decided that a podcast wouldn't be a bad idea just to kind of lay down some thoughts.
That's great. That's great. Now, are you originally from Southern California?
Definitely not. I am from New Jersey. I grew up watching the Rangers. I was there when the Devils franchise got started. In fact, some of my high school classmates' parents were involved in bringing that franchise to the North Jersey area. And,
right.
You know, have been 7 years in Pittsburgh for my residency. Saw the Rangers win the Cup in 94 when I was graduating medical school. And it's been a passion of mine my entire life.
Well, I'm originally a Canadian from Toronto.
I know. You were a big Montreal sportscaster, correct?
Yeah. I worked Montreal. Well, actually, I did the Olympics in 1976. So on television in Canada, I had gymnastics with Nadia Comaneci.
Nice.
I was working side by side with Chris Schenkel. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Great,
of course.
Sportscaster. Yeah. I was helping him pronounce the Russian and Romanian names. Because CBC Canada, the network north of the border, they sent me all over prior to the Olympics, learning about the Russian and Romanian gymnastics teams. But anyway, long story short, I promised her after the Olympics, because when I met her, it was on a blind date, and she's obviously living in L.A., and I was working in Edmonton for the CBC. As a television sportscaster. And she found the winters a little too tough when it was 40 below for two straight months.
Oh,
and
man.
40 below Celsius and 40 below Fahrenheit, they meet. So I promised her after the Olympics, if I made some contacts, that we would move. And actually, we moved to Los Angeles. I was ending up doing the television sports on KHJ Channel 9. And I did that on weekends, but they wouldn't hire me full time. In fact, the guy they gave the full-time job to was former UCLA basketball player, Lynn Shackelford.
Oh, I think I remember that guy.
Anyway, Jake Milford was the general manager of the Kings at the time.
Yep.
And he wanted to hire me to do radio. And Jack Kent Cook was then the owner. And he, of course, was Canadian. And he wouldn't hire me because he said, you sound too Canadian. Well, at that point, I decided that I needed to go back to Canada. I accepted a job to go back to the CBC network, and I was going to go to Calgary.
Hmm.
That day that I accepted a job in Calgary, I got a call from Montreal. And the sports director there, Dick Irvin, who was on Hockey Night in Canada, said, listen, we'll pay you $2,000 more, and we'll give you a chance to work the Canadiens hockey broadcasts.
Wow.
Well, that was a no-brainer. I called Calgary back. Went to Montreal. From there, the general manager of the TV radio station offered me a job to go back to the U.S. in Baltimore and be the sports director. And we were going after the Orioles and Maryland football and basketball and At the same time, he made the Capitals aware, Washington, that I was coming down, and David Poile, who's now the general manager in Nashville, said, we want you to work for us. So I started as the host of their telecasts and then moved into the play-by-play role. Was there for 10 years. And from there, I moved to Florida. Was there for 10.
Wow.
And Blue Jackets wanted me to come to Columbus when the franchise started, but I wasn't leaving Florida. But my contract was a four-year deal, but it was rejected in New York at the Fox headquarters because they knew there was a lockout coming in 2004.
Yep.
And Doug McClain, who was the general manager and president of the Blue Jackets, said, come to Columbus. I'll pay you during the lockout, make you a club employee. So that's when I left Florida, and my wife and I and family, we moved to Columbus, and I've been there 15 years now and enjoy it.
That's not
that's
a bad spot.
My story.
Yeah, that's a amazing resume, first of all, and second of all, it's a great place to land in terms of you know, really putting your hockey knowledge and your play by play, you know, to work. I think the Jackets are an incredible franchise, and they're just, you know, they're definitely coming into their own at this point.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. The funny story though, my deal with the Capitals and Home Team Sports, which was then the television network, wasn't supposed to start until the following season after I already had pretty well established myself in Baltimore. But Larry King, who he and I became great friends, he was hosting Mutual Radio, and this is before CNN. Larry one night said, come on in, I want to interview you and be a guest intermission. I said, fine. So I go in and visit with him. At the end of the interview, he turns to the camera and he says, I'm starting at CNN Monday. I want you to meet Jeff Rimmer, the new host of Capitals Hockey. This is unbeknownst to the people at HDS and the Capitals. Larry was Larry and still is Larry, and I hope he's on the road to recovery after his heart attack. But he just said, Jeff, you're taking over. You know more about hockey than I'll ever know.
Well, that's funny. What a story. That was when he started it, huh?
Yeah, that's when he started CNN, that Monday.
Unbelievable. Well, that's cool. You've been in the biz pretty thick for quite some time, and that experience definitely is, I'm sure the Blue Jackets are the beneficiaries of that.
Well, I sure enjoy my time in Columbus.
Yeah, well, you got a great team to root for, and I'm hoping they go the distance. It's been awesome watching them do what they do, and I'm pretty amazed that they blew the Tampa Bay Lightning out of the water.
Well, I know for a fact before that series started, not that the Blue Jackets were going to win, but I knew that Tampa did not like the matchup. They were not looking forward to playing the Blue Jackets. In fact, the Blue Jackets didn't clinch a playoff spot until game 81 in New York on the Friday night, the next to last game. And
right.
They were hoping they were hoping that their matchup was going to be against Carolina.
Well, and, you know, that's the thing. In the playoffs, it can definitely happen that way. We've talked about that on the Dr. Hockey podcast about unfavorable matchups. Even though the, you know, one team may have more guns, better stats, and is on a tear, there are certain teams that don't match well. And I can tell you that the Tampa Bay Lightning could not get their offense going in that series at all. It was shut down completely by the Columbus defense. And
right.
that just made room for the guys up front to do what they do, and they really took it to the Lightning. It was awesome to watch. What got into the Blue Jackets that they are not only did they steamroll the Tampa Bay Lightning, but they are taking it to the Bruins. I know it's tied 2-2 at this point, but they really look like they are in command of the series.
Well, I can tell you that having not clinched a playoff spot until the final weekend of the regular season and their next to last game in New York at Madison Square Garden, they were in playoff mode for a good 10 to 12 games before the playoffs. And it's just been a carryover. And the momentum that they have generated and just the fact that they had to continue winning down the stretch and playing at the optimum was really beneficial for them here in this early playoff run. It's a marathon. It's four series, and you've got to obviously win four games in each of them. Yes, it was a shock to the hockey world when the Blue Jackets winning and sweeping Tampa Bay after the Lightning had recorded an NHL record 62 victories to tie a longstanding record of the Detroit Red Wings.
Yep.
I can tell you, had the Blue Jackets not had to fight for that playoff spot down the stretch, I don't think they would have carried the momentum into the playoffs that they've been able to accomplish. And I give a lot of credit to the coaching staff who prepared them on a day-by-day basis. And as John Tortorella has insisted all along, it's one day at a time, one game at a time, and he will not look beyond that. And this Blue Jackets hockey team, as you point out, Doc, has really come together.
Yeah, I mean, they really have. And Tortorella is clearly the difference in terms of strategy because, you know, I think he really outsmarted the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, he had them shut down. And that, I mean, both teams have incredible players. There's no arguing that. But, you know, the incredible players of the Tampa Bay Lightning could not get the wheels going against this this Blue Jackets defense. They gummed up the center of the ice, and their ability to enter the zone on the Jackets was so clearly thwarted. It was almost laughable because they couldn't do anything. It was incredible to watch. I did not expect that.
No, it was really the game plan that was outlined by the coaches and understand the Jackets down the stretch, they played that way. If I could tell a story here.
You bet.
The Jackets were in Edmonton, and the Oilers, of course, their playoff hopes had vanished, and they manhandled the Blue Jackets, and it had to be one of the low points of the season, if not the low point. And from there, the Jackets would move on to Vancouver to conclude their Western Canadian trip. And the coaches were beside themselves, not really knowing what to do, having it been such a poor performance and the Blue Jackets needing to win to maintain an opportunity to even make the playoffs. And the coaches decided that they would have a team dinner. And teams have dinners all the time, but this was going to be a different dinner. It was going to be an opportunity for the coaches, for the players, and management to vent. And there were some fingers pointed at any number of situations, be it some animosity between players, be it poor performances. And everyone spoke at that dinner. Now, I have talked to the players, I've talked to the coaches, and without specifics, the management, and it was a situation at the end of the evening, at the end of the dinner, that it was going to go one way or the other. And it was the president of hockey, John Davidson, who's been a longtime friend of mine. We went to high school together. John basically said at the time, it's going to go one way or the other. Either the team is going to come together or they're going to go downhill. Not that they had to go any further downhill. And what it did was galvanize the team. And from that point on, that was the turning point for the Blue Jackets. And they won 11 of 12 games. And, of course, as I said earlier, clinched a playoff spot in the next to last game. And they've just carried on since.
Well, whatever they said at that dinner meeting, it did the job because they have been on a tear. And they play differently. They look different. Their energy level is incredible. And, you know, they just don't let a lot get towards Bobrovsky in the back there. And that's, I think, you know, if you don't let the other team score, it sure increases your chances of winning. And that has been, that's been their strategy. And, you know, I don't know, Boston got up on them last night, but I really see, I see the Jackets getting through this, this series and making it into the, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals. What do they have to do at this point? You know, they're 2-2 with Boston during, at this time of this podcast. What do you think? What's gonna get this Boston team off their back?
Well, I'm sitting here in Boston. It's the night before Game 5. I'm at the hotel and just doing a few notes here. What they're going to have to do first and foremost is stay out of the penalty box.
For sure.
They allowed the Bruins' power play, which has been ineffective in the series because the Jackets have simply shut them down. They've got to maintain the distance that they showed down the stretch. The Blue Jackets at one point, Doctor, in November I went back in my notes. In November, they were bottom, rock bottom on the penalty kill. And because of the discipline and because of the aggressiveness that was instituted by assistant coach Brad Shaw, who's a former NHL defenseman, they just totally turned around their misfortunes on the penalty kill. And as they ended the season, they were tied with Tampa for the first overall penalty kill at better than 85%. I think it was 85.7%. And going into that game four last night, they were right there at 85.7, ironically enough. But they gave Tampa, or they gave Boston, excuse me, six power plays. And the Bruins capitalized on a pair of them by Patrice Bergeron, and one of them was scored in that first period for the 2-0 lead and kind of took the wind out of the sails, and the Jackets, as a result, were playing catch-up. So the key is going to be to get back to that discipline to, when they do allow a power play, make sure that they're as aggressive as they were through much of the latter part of the season and into the early rounds of these playoffs. And they've got to get some of their key players going. Cam Atkinson in particular, we've seen Panarin maintain his scoring punch, but Atkinson and Dubois, the other two-thirds of that top line, have struggled offensively. And they're getting chances, but they're not able to bury them. But if the Jackets are going to advance in this playoff series, they're going to have to get contributions from those players. Yeah. And Sergei Bobrovsky, who has been outstanding throughout the stretch drive and into these playoffs, he has to, again, be their best penalty killer, and if not their best player, certainly one of their best players.
Well, you know, certainly he can be. I mean, Bobrovsky is we've had, you know, a look at him for the last couple of years, you know, getting to the, you know, getting the Jackets where they are, and he's got it in him. I know he does, and he's a dedicated, disciplined goaltender. He doesn't, you know, make a whole lot of mistakes, but it seems like when teams figure him out, they can go to town on him. And I sort of felt that way last night with Boston, that they kind of had him figured out for a minute. And, you know, something's got to give where they can't let Boston get those kind of chances. Now, Boston's a very flaky team, though. They can look like they're on their way to the Stanley Cup, or that, you know, they need to go back to the drawing board and rethink their entire way of playing. It fluctuates for them, and I think that's been their weakness. I expect that the Boston fans are going to be extremely hard on the team if they don't get the first goal, you know, tomorrow night. And I suspect that that is a real key for the Blue Jackets, is to get up on the Boston team early and stay up on them. But if they can get the first goal, I think it'll make all the difference in terms of getting a win in Boston.
Yeah, no doubt. The first 10 minutes and certainly the first period are going to be key. And you're right, the Blue Jackets are going to need to get on that board early to take the crowd out of the game, much like the Bruins took, quite frankly, the Columbus crowd, which has been exceptional.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, they're getting recognition around the National Hockey League, and rightfully so. These fans have waited almost 20 years for this type of Stanley Cup playoff hockey, and they are all in. Ratings last night were exceptional. They're high for NBC. They are high and record attendance, certainly in the building last night, the largest crowd ever. The city is abuzz, and they'd like to keep that momentum going, and they'd like to see the Blue Jackets come home with a win tomorrow and take a 3-2 lead in the series with a chance to wrap it up on home ice.
Oh, that would be sweet. I mean, that would just – it would be very, very satisfying. You know, the Jackets have such – you know, incredible players. You know, their depth is there. I agree with you. Cam Atkinson needs to rise to this occasion. This is his time. I mean, Panarin is playing out of his head. He looks great. He's just a deadly sniper. And, you know, we've had Seth Jones on the podcast, and his comment was that Artemi Panarin's probably the most creative player he's ever played with. And I see why he says that. The guy is – he's just dangerous, and he moves the puck, and he moves to the space without anybody even knowing it's happening. And before you know it, he's in on you.
Now, I can tell you, and it's another Russian by the name of Pavel Bure, who I had the good fortune of calling his games in Florida when he was acquired from Vancouver in a trade to play for the Panthers. And the Russian Rocket, as he was referred to, was a dynamic player in his own right, but different from Panarin. Both have the ability to score, but the Russian Rocket was a guy that went down that wing.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, from all my broadcasting career, from Montreal right through here to Columbus, there are few players that can bring you out of your seats. One, of course, as I mentioned, Pavel Bure, who just streaked down that right wing. Another, early on in my career in Montreal, Guy Lafleur with the waving hair, no helmet. And, I mean, he was gone. He was speed down that wing as well. But the guy here in Columbus, Artemi Panarin, who probably can write his own ticket. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. He's going to end up in New York or Florida, in my opinion, as a free agent. He finds holes. He's a guy that will play in traffic. He's a guy that will win board battles. And he knows how to put the puck in the net. Those are the kinds of players, and they're few and far between, as I said, that can bring you out of your seat. Those are three guys that I've been fortunate enough to follow and cover and broadcast in my career that are players of that magnitude.
Well, those are great players. I mean, I've watched Guy Lafleur when I was back in New Jersey, and that guy was he was something else. He really moved on the ice at you know, kind of like the guys do today back during that time. And very exciting player, Pavel Bure, obviously. He just was deadly, just super speedy and just a sniper of a shooter. And that's awesome that Panarin is doing what he's doing, but let's see if we get the other guys going with it too. What about sort of the who's the unsung hero of the Columbus Blue Jackets? I have my ideas of who that is, but who do you think, you know, really made the difference this year and is continuing to make the difference in the playoffs that nobody's talking about?
Well, one guy that everybody's talking about, you mentioned his name here just a few minutes ago, Seth Jones. He is finally getting the recognition, I think, now that the Jackets are on a national stage. He is one of the best defensemen in the NHL. He's certainly maybe the best all-round defenseman because he does it offensively and defensively and logs a great deal of ice time, better than 30 minutes last night in Game 4.
Yep.
Unsung hero? Boy, certainly Josh Anderson was earlier. He's another guy that the Jackets have got to get going offensively. Took a couple of bad penalties last night. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, people are well aware. I you really can't say he's an unsung hero, but one that, too, is getting a bit of attention and maybe a bit of a coming-out party. And another player is another guy that the Jackets are looking to put the puck in the net, and that's Oliver Bjorkstrand. But, I mean, you just look at the core of this team, guys like Duchesne, Zach Werenski, obviously the guys that we've mentioned here, Panarin, Seth Jones, those are the guys that people are talking about. But these other players, not necessarily unsung heroes, but key contributors that the Jackets certainly are looking to, again, show their offensive skills.
Well, and they need to. I mean, that's why they acquired Duchesne. You know, he needs to rise to the occasion and show that, you know, this was a good move for the Jackets, that he can do what he was brought in to do. And, you know, I would obviously like to see, you know, Boone Jenner producing more. I mean, there are Bjorkstrand especially, too. I mean, that's a very talented player who hasn't been, you know, logging a lot of stats for the team. But, you know, they're all there. And that's why something in Boston tomorrow night, they've got to find a way to just pull it all together and make this thing sing for them. Because if they win in Boston, I think they're going to go back home and they're going to take this series and move on to the next round, which would just be 100% awesome for the Columbus fans and for that franchise.
For sure. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I hope that they can do it. I think, you know, we've covered the big keys for them, and, you know, we're definitely all going to be watching. The Dr. Hockey podcast crew is, you know, obviously we're fans of the folks that have come on for sure. But at this point, all of our expected teams that we, you know, we love certain teams, and then there are the expected winners. And everybody who thought that the Lightning was going the distance, Calgary, all these other teams, they are all gone. So I think it's anybody's game at this point. And, you know, I sort of thought Boston would get by Toronto again, and I thought they'd be here, but I didn't think they'd get to the next round. So it's up to the Jackets to fulfill that one, and I think they can do it. I believe that, you know, the game tomorrow is the key. They don't want to be trying to come back from behind.
I hope you're right.
Well, listen, Jeff, I really appreciate you taking the time and jumping on with us. We will definitely stay in touch. If you're ever interested in coming on, you let us know. We'd like to have you back on, and I'd love to get you on when if you're ever out in Los Angeles, get into the studio with Dr. Berkley and myself, and we could have a really good time chatting some big topics in the NHL.
For sure. Thank you for having me on, Doc.
All right. Good luck tomorrow night. Let's see the Jackets win.
All right. Take care.
Have a good one. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
So the playoffs in the NHL can be quite unpredictable. I want to know how much money you just lost on Tampa Bay Lightning getting swept in the first round. The NHL's best team can lose at any time, and we just saw it happen with the frickin' Tampa Bay Lightning. This was a team that I picked to go to the Stanley Cup and win. So now that that's not happening, I suggest that you go check out our new sponsor, MyBookie.ag. Betting on these games is always fun, and you can see how winning is a culture for some teams, and for other teams, it is so difficult for them to get through these playoffs. I don't want to say any names, but some teams come to mind, like the Vancouver Canucks, and also, San Jose Sharks. Zero Stanley Cups. So MyBookie.ag has been in business for years. They pay out in days, and you'll get your money fast when you win. There's a 24/7 customer service line that can take care of anything via live chat or phone, and they really love hockey. We think that if you are going to bet on the Stanley Cup Finals, that you should bet with MyBookie.ag. When you go online, there's an opportunity for you to put in for a bonus with your first deposit. You'll get 50 cents on every dollar you deposit with MyBookie.ag. You'll use the promo code Dr. Hockey, DrHockey. Very easy, no spaces, no periods, no nothing, just Dr. Hockey. And you will get 50 cents for every dollar you deposit. That's a one-time deal for your first deposit. And then you can start betting right away. There are some rules you should read about that, about the payouts. So I recommend you look at that because you can't put in your money, take the 50 cents on a dollar, and then withdraw your deposit because you're not going to get paid for nothing. So I recommend that you figure out whether you want to do that bonus deal. Again, it's promo code Dr. Hockey, but we are digging it. I think since my bracket is now out of the bracket challenge, I got to go on and I'm going to have to rethink who's going to win the Stanley Cup now and take a look at the odds. MyBookie.ag. Check it out. This is really the best site. They pay fast. So I recommend you get yourself back into the black with MyBookie.ag.